Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
So beautiful for every situation. That's what the scripture says. He's beautiful for every situation. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know how long you've been going through it. But I do want to encourage you that our God is the mighty God. And he can and will take you through. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite your attention to a few passages of scripture found in 1 Samuel 30th chapter, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll skip and read 6 through 8. If you have your Bibles or a source of the Word of God, I invite you to stand on your feet. If you should be here and you don't happen to have anything at all, if you look up on the screen, these scriptures will be provided for you. And again, if you're here and you cannot stand for some physical reason, we truly understand that. But we do stand in the reverence of the reading of the Word of God here. Amen. If you would allow me to read this aloud in your hearing as you read these scriptures silently. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And when David and the men that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Verse 7, and David said about Abiathar the priest, the Amalekite's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And he brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Question. Shall I overtake them? Question. And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Father, we bless you and we thank you again for an opportunity to have, Lord Jesus, your word. And may your word meet us right where we are this morning. Let it convict, convince, and convert us, God. And let us not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of it. And Lord, if you would please lend me your anointing, because it's through your anointing, Lord, that yokes, fetters, and chains can and will be broken. And when all of these things are said and done and people are delivered, souls are saved, Lord, let there be somebody even in this day repent of their sins and be baptized in your name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when these things are said and done, remember to give you the glory, the honor, and praise. Let everyone say in Jesus' name. Jesus. Before you're seated, I just want to read to you verse number 8 of 1 Samuel 30. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, meaning the Lord, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. In the remaining time that I have, I want to minister to you from this thought, pursue until apprehended. Pursue until apprehended. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, again, usually there are a few words that will leap out when you hear the thought. And there are two words that really stick out to me, and the words are pursue and apprehended. Pursue means to go after, to chase, to run after. It's to hunt. It's to follow someone or something. And apprehend did is to arrest, to catch, to capture, to seize, to take prisoner, to take into custody. So with that being said, please allow me to go back in this account of 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. But really and truly, the backdrop starts in chapter 29. You see, the account really starts right there because the king, Asher, being advised of his princes not to allow David's men to go into battle with them against Israel's army because they feared that they would turn against them while fighting Israel. You see, they felt that this would be an opportune time for David to get back into the favor with King Saul. In other words, get back into his good graces. Let me just ask you a question. Was this not the same David that they sang about? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. So the king told David in a very tactful way that he and his 600 men should return back to the land of the Philistines. In other words, bruh, sit this one out. So they departed early in the morning, and the Philistines' army went to Jezreel to do battle against Israel. Now, it's about a three-day, 50-mile journey from that point to Ziklag, which they were at. And by the time they returned home, David and his men were worn out. That's a lot of miles to cover in 3 days. But when they arrived, they found Ziklag destroyed with smoke rising in the early morning air. And what used to be their homes, nothing left but ashes. Now, if you continue to follow the account, now the men, they began to weep, to include David. The Bible said that they cried so hard, they had no more strength left in them. I want to know, do I got anybody to ever cry tears like that? That you cried, and after a while the tear ducts were dry, you had in your stomach pain because you had cried with all of your might. Well, that's where we find David and the men. And when they got to that point, after a while, what they desired to do then was to lay the blame at the feet of David. You see, to whom much is given, much is required. Heavy lies the head that wears the crown. And so, it's human nature. They began to point fingers. They began to say, David, it is because of you that this happened. You should have left some men there to guard our families. All David could do was listen to them. And now they're even talking about rebellion. They're talking about stoning him to death. Can you imagine? You've been through a lot with these 600 men, but now they're turning against you. Just work with me. Can you imagine this picture? Here they are, hollering, cursing, saying, we ain't following you no more. And maybe David's over here in the corner. Tears streaming down his face. But somewhere inside of David, he understands that he cannot allow this to depress him. Y'all know we get depressed easy. Can I give you one, somebody? When things don't go our way, we begin to get depressed. And we begin to feel hopeless, like nobody cares. And maybe that's just how David felt. But he understood that this is not the time to give in to that feeling. This is not the time to allow my mind not to be focused on the mission. So he's there. And this is the part where I want you to understand. The Bible said at this point, what David does in the midst of all of what's happening, all what's going on, the Bible said David, he sends for the ephod. That's the robes, that's the spiritual garb, if you please, that the priest wore. Because now David, he doesn't just want to inquire, but he understands that he needs to get strength. And let me go back a minute before we get there. This is what the Bible says, because he didn't just start off asking God, shall I? What he first did was in verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed, for again the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. I love this. It's a conjunction. But now let's find out the function. David encouraged himself. Mm-hmm. See, there's times a pastor ain't going to be there to encourage you, baby. It's times a evangelist ain't going to be there to encourage you. The Bible said David encouraged himself. You might be wondering, how does one in that situation get the strength to encourage himself? So David is there, and he's needing now to encourage himself in spite of all what's happening, all what's going on. David now must find himself encouraging himself. Well, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, the question on the floor is, how do we, at that juncture, how do we go about strengthening or encouraging oneself at a critical time as this? When everything is crashing in upon you, your world is turned upside down. You get the picture. Well, the secret here is the secret to strengthening yourself in the Lord in difficult times is this: turn to the word of the Lord. Turn to the word of God. We find David doing just that. In Psalms 18 and 6, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Psalms 27, 1 and 2 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh? They stumbled and fell. Psalms 34, 1 and 6 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Somebody say all times. I need y'all to work with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. Pastor, you mean even when I get the eviction notice, even when they give me the pink slip on my job, even when my husband said, that's over, I'm done with. No, bro. No, sis. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Woo! Oh, glory be to God. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man, I don't know about you, but this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. Not some of them, but all of them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. I love this verse. Oh, taste and see. Listen. You got to try them for yourself. You can't go on what your family has. Can't go on what your mama said. But you got to oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Y'all know this is my favorite. This is my favorite right illustration. I can tell you all day long about how good a Snickers bar is. How the nuts and the caramel and the chocolate blend in and they get on your taste buds and say, good. But until you taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good, you won't know it. You just have it secondhand. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Then he went on in Psalms 41 and 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He had put a new song. Somebody say a new song. God wants to give you a new song. In the midst of your darkest days, he wants to give you a new song. In your mouth, even a praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalms 42, 1 and 6 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where's thy God? When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise and with a multitude that keepeth holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, the help of his countenance. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hormonites and from the hill of Mazar. In Psalms 56, 1 and 4, be merciful unto me. Anybody feel like that sometimes? Always going on. You say, Lord, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemy will daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. Yes. O thou most high, yes. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise this word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In the last Psalms, Psalm 62 and 1 and 2 says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. Let me just stop here, because what we have in the house are folk that's impatient. See, God is doing something, but you can't see it. It's beyond your vision. It's beyond your pay grade to see what he's doing, how he's doing. He's working underneath the dirt, and you don't know what's coming up. But God is doing it. You got to allow God to be God. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now you see, this is what David did before he asked for the ephod. He encouraged himself in the word of God. And now he asks for the ephod. And when he gets the ephod, what he wants to do now is inquire of the Lord. Lord, what will you have me to do? Are you asking God what you need to do? Instead of relying on your own intellect, on your IQ, on your smarts, are you relying on what God has to say? I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, we've got to get to this place where we inquire of God. He says, bring the ephod. And when they bring the ephod to him, now what he does is he inquires. He inquires of the Lord. And the things that he's inquiring are questions. Somebody say they're questions. And they're valid questions. David inquires of the Lord and he says, shall I pursue after this troop? These are some bad boys. They came in and took all of our family. They ain't killed nobody. But they took them all. So, shall I pursue after them? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I pursue after this troop? Somebody ought to get that in your spirit. You're asking a question. That's question number one. Question number two is, shall I overtake them? Now, this troop that were some bad boys came in and did and destroyed. You want me to pursue, but am I going to overtake them? Am I going to be able to conquer them? Am I going to be able to say, I got the V-I-C-T-O-R-Y? Am I going to say, I got the victory? So shall I overtake them? And he answered him. Let me tell you and serve notice to you here live and in person and those on Facebook, YouTube, and in Anchor. Stop praying if you're not going to believe what you're praying for. That's right, I said it. See, you can do one or two things when you pray. You can pray and believe God, or you can pray and doubt. And where there's doubt, there will not be victory. So, after he prayed, the Bible said, and he answered. Stop praying if you don't believe God is going to answer your prayer. I'll tell you in a skinny minute, God does answer prayer. Yes, he does. He answers it one or two ways. Yes, that's the green light. We all like that. Okay, God, I'm going. Or he says no. Then you know how you act like a little kid. Or it could simply be that word that we act like he cursing at us when he says, wait. The Bible said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and the Lord shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So if you're going to pray, he's going to answer you. He answered David, and he said, pursue. Oh, David said, whoa, okay. He said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. David, you can take this to the bank. You can cash this in. If I said it, that settles it. And then he says, and without fail, recover all. Somebody need to, don't say this if you're scared of the devil. But if you ain't scared of the devil, you need to tell him, I'm taking my stuff back. All of it. Woo!
taking it all back.
So now David is pumped. He's encouraged. He's going after them. But when he goes after them, don't forget, he starts out with 600 men. But because the trip has been so devastating and so wearisome, 200 of them say, David, I'm sorry, bro. I like to go with y'all, but I can't. I don't have the energy. You know what David said? No problem. Stay right here. We got you. Now, 400 of them go over. And when they go over, they find a man, a young man, an Egyptian man, half dead. They stop and they say, let me ask you a question. Who are you? He began to tell them, I'm an Egyptian. My master left me here because 3 days ago I got sick and he left me to die. My master is one of those that came and raided your camp. Right then and there, you know what they did? And let me say this, if you want a Bible result, you got to do it the Bible way. They didn't kill him. They fed him, gave him something to drink. And the Bible said after his strength, after his life came back into him, they said, now, do you think you could lead me to where they are? He said, yes, sir. He said, but under one condition, number one, you don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Number two, don't take me back to my master. See, some of y'all don't need to go back where you came from. You need to stay right where God planted you and blossom and grow. So he said, okay, I'll take you there. He took them there, and when he took them there, David and the 400 men, not 600, they took and they watched and saw what was happening. They were those men were marrying, they were drinking, they were just rejoicing over how they raided places, and they were unaware that David and the boys were there. The Bible said they took them, beat them until the sun up to the sun down, and took all of their possessions. And last but not least, I'm telling somebody today, pursue unto apprehended. Pursue unto apprehended. Pursue Christ Jesus. Pursue him like you've never pursued him before. And I leave this in my closing with you. If you do that, you'll find yourself as the Ephesians began to say something like this. And hear me. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do not count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteous, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain until the resurrection of the dead. Now listen closely to these last few verses. Not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that if I may be apprehended. Somebody say apprehended. Pursue unto apprehended, that I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. See, that's the problem. You still reaching back in your past. You still reaching back there to some things that you ought to let go. But he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, guests and visitors, Facebook, YouTube, even Anchor, pursue until apprehended. Can I get you to stand? I'll be quite honest with you. I have been very challenged in this message myself. So you can sit there and act like you good to go. I am not good to go. I am not good to go. I've got to be honest with you that I'm not good to go, because sometimes when you pursue, you find yourself getting wearied. You find life beating you down. And you feel like taking and saying, I'm throwing in the towel. But if this message spoke to you today, please, sir, ma'am, join me at the altar. God, please help me, God. Help me, God, to get back in the race. Help me, God, to pursue, Lord. Help me to chase. Help me to hunt. Help me, God, to follow after you. Running, Lord, after you with all of my heart, with all of my might, all of my mind, all of my soul. As these that are coming to the altar, that are here at the altar, we want to pray. We want to believe, God, with you as you come to the altar, knowing that time is winding up. We don't know when the last trump will sound. All we know is that it is a day coming when the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to meet him. And we've got to be on the right side of judgment. We've got to be on the right side of the white throne judgment. Are you here today? Facebook, I can't see you. I promise you. YouTube, I can't see you. But I know God has a way of moving through the airwaves. God has a way of taking your TV, that live stream, and convincing you that that message is for me. Wherever you're viewing this live stream, it's in the comforts of your living room, in your bedroom. I don't care wherever it is. Find yourself a place of prayer as we pray for these.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise, because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise.